Thank you, Jesus. Well, I want to do part three of the In Him series. Today it's called In the Know. You know, the riches of God have been made available to us, and yet sometimes we don't know about them, so we can't take advantage of them. We have to be in the know. Hello? You know, when you find out what belongs to you in the natural, you can take advantage. When you find out what belongs to you because you are a child of God, it's easy to appropriate those things to your life. Now, the Apostle Paul states that it is a fact that all spiritual blessings belong to us. Ephesians 1:3. I'll give you a chance to turn there. Ephesians 1:3. I judge by the front rows. When I see the front rows quit turning. Now, you can find it on your iPhone, iPad, Bible, whatever. Oh, I forgot to. If you didn't check in at Rhema, check in. That's the best advertisement you can have right there, checking in somewhere, because people start saying, man, look at all the people checking in there. We need to go check that out. So please, every time you come to church, check in, okay? All right, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In that little book on page 3, it says the church must realize that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. There aren't any more. All means all. Okay? Now, he went on there to say, my dad did, every spiritual blessing includes everything God did for the body of Christ in Jesus' redemptive work on the cross. Everything God did in Christ belongs to the church. We that are born again are called the church. Everything that belongs to the church, the body of Christ, and everything that God did for us was intended to bless us and enable us to carry out his plan here on the earth. You know, if we ever come to realize what all of our benefits are in Christ, I mean, you will step it up a notch or two. You'll move up to a higher level. But we have to know the Word of God, and the way to know the Word of God is to renew your mind with the Word. You have to renew your mind. Romans 12:2, we all know it, but you can turn there, Romans 12:2. Okay. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by, what's it say? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, renewing of the mind. Everybody talks about the spirit, and it's important with the spirit, but the Word of God talks about the mind also. We have to renew. We are born again on the inside. Our spirit is made, and like we already talked about in the first lesson, in him we become a new creature in Christ Jesus, but then we have to do something about our mind. We have to do something. He can't take the word and put it up here in your mind. You get the word by renewing your mind with the Word of God. I mean, I talked about it last week. You went over and over the multiplication table until they become a part of you. And still today, many, many years after I learned the multiplication table, I can still remember what 9 times 9 says, 81. 7 times 7, 49. I mean, you don't even think about it. You just say it and it happens because it become a part of you. That's what renewing the mind with the Word of God, it becomes a part of you. So when the enemy begins to squeeze you, you don't wring your hands and holler, "Oh my God, what are we going to do now?" You start quoting the Word of God. "I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I can overcome. I'm a victor," blah, and on the list goes. You know, like a knowledge really is the number one thing that keeps Christians from enjoying every benefit that Christ purchased for them on the cross of Calvary. You know, a little story. A little old lady lived in a shack, and this was during the days of the great preacher, English preacher Charles Spurgeon. And anybody in here that does any preaching knows about Charles Spurgeon. He was one of the greatest preachers that there was. And there's I don't know how many books out with his sermons in them still being printed today. And so he went to visit this little lady in her shack. You know, she was living in poverty. And he saw a framed certificate on her wall. And he said, "What is this?" And she said, "Oh, the people I used to work as a maid for, before he died, he gave me that. It's a very precious to me because he gave it to me." But she couldn't read and then so forth. And Charles Spurgeon read it. And he realized that it was something that stated that he had left her a vast estate and she's living in a shack. And he asked her if he could take it to the proper authorities, and she was reluctant at first because it meant so much to her because it began, and he took it to the proper authorities, and now she was a wealthy woman all of this time and didn't know it. Do you know what? That's the way Christians are. We don't know, so we are kept in lack and bondage. When we know what belongs to us, we can take advantage of it. You know? The song they sang earlier, "I Know Who I Am." You know, all of us are have a family name, and we know what that family name means, what it means to us, and so forth and so on. I got 5 grandsons, and they all know who they are. They know that I am Poppy, and it don't make no difference. Poppy is always available. When you know who you are, a child of God, God is always available. He's always available. Now, what we need to understand, that sometimes we don't understand, that God has already decided through the redemptive work of Christ that all of the promises are ours. That's already a written, sealed fact. Because of what Christ did on Calvary, it's the promises are already ours. It's a decided fact. It's already been decided. It don't have to be decided. You don't have to go looking for it. It's already decided. All the promises are ours. You know, sometimes your kids will come to you when, you know, our kids will come and they'd ask about something. I said, "Well, let me think about it. I'll decide about it later." Any of your parents ever did that? Well, I see about 10 hands being lifted. I know there's more people than that. How many of you, your kids come to you and you said, "Well, we'll think about it and we'll make a decision later"? Yeah. Do you know what? When we go to God as His children, our Heavenly Father, and we ask for one of the promises, he doesn't have to say, well, let me get the Son and the Holy Ghost and we'll have a committee meeting and we'll find out whether or not this can happen. No, it's already a decided fact. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's all the promises are already a decided fact in my favor. Hallelujah. All right, go to 2 Corinthians 1, 18. 2 Corinthians 1, 18. 2 Corinthians 1, 18. All right. But God is faithful. Our word to you was yes and was not yes and no. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Stephanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was what?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, or so be it, to the glory of God through us. God gets glory when we receive all the promises. I don't think you got what I said. It says here, for all the promises in God of God in him, that's in Christ, are yes. In other words, yes. In him, amen, to the glory of God through us. To the glory of God through us. The promises coming through us give glory to God. Anybody excited? Now, the Message Bible says, whatever God has promised gets stamped yes. The New International Version says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. Yes. What does yes mean? Yes means you can have it. Whatever it is. No means no, you don't get it. It says here, look here, look, let's go back and read that a minute. Come in. 18. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. In him. Remember this whole series, in him, in whom, through him, through Jesus. Those are all tremendous statements, and it's because of him. When we begin to understand who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do because of Christ, it will change the way we live. It'll change the way you think about things. If I am in Christ, then the answer to all of the promises of God is yes. I don't have to go and ask him, Father God, can you please heal me? When the Bible already said, I'm healed. All I got to do is appropriate it. When the Bible already, you don't have to go and, oh God, meet me, will you please meet my needs? No, all you got to do is go and say, I thank you that my needs are met because he's already said they are. One person said, all that God created for his children in the beginning is now restored to you through Jesus Christ. That means when God made the original man and put him in the Garden of Eden with all the good stuff that he had and so forth and so on, that means it's been restored to us through Jesus Christ. Whatever God promised in this word is now. Not maybe, not we'll wait and see how it turns out. It's now. Now. Now faith is. And you see, you have to have faith in order to get the promises to work. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. Now, you know, we sing about songs about, and we used to, we don't too much about what we're going to get in heaven and just a little while and then over in the glory land and all these things about, you know. But hey, we don't have to wait. One guy said, oh, it's going to be a whole lot better in heaven. Yeah, it is, but we don't have to wait till we get there for heaven. You know, a wealthy man called his faithful servant and assistant, actually, into his office and said, I have put you in my will, and when I die, you will receive $10,000. Now, today that's not much, but back when this story was written, it was a bunch. Hello? I remember when I was a kid growing up, $10,000 was a bunch of money. In fact, that was more than most people made during the whole year. I mean, I could go buy a brand new 55 Chevrolet pickup truck for $1,500. Try to do that today. Oh, hasn't time changed? So he called him in and he said, I've left you $10,000 in my will. But as it might be a time before I die. So I want to make you happy by each year that I live, I'm going to give you the interest that you would receive off of this money. So here's $600 as a starter. The clerk was double thankful, man, kind. Hey, looky here. Prospect of receiving the inheritance was great news, but it was greater yet to receive the advance on the reality of the future. That's the way the things of God are. We have an inheritance in heaven, but we also get a part of it down here through his promises. Don't talk about so much about the inheritance. It's there. It belongs to you. But enjoy what he's given us now to get to heaven with. He put him in his will and told him this is what you're going to get. But he gave him each year a certain amount on the inheritance. That's what God has done in his word. We have the inheritance in heaven, but right here we have his word that gives us a little bit of that inheritance to get to heaven with. Anybody following me? That ought to get you excited right there. That ought to get you excited right there. Hello. You see, the things of God are a future for us, but they also are a now for us. And what we receive in the now inspires us for what the inheritance is in the future. Can you understand what I'm saying to you? You know, hey, we might say it this way. Christ hung on the cross to pre-qualify us for the inheritance. You know, sometimes you get in the mail. How many of you get in the mail saying, you are pre-qualified to receive a credit card or something else? All you got to do is call a number and they'll activate it. You know, that's the way it is with God. God has written a book called the Bible. And he's telling us that we are pre-qualified for all the promises in here. All we have to do is to claim them. You can get a deal and say, you have been qualified for this, and all you got to do is call a number. Well, we've been qualified through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for every promise in the book. All we have to do is call upon it. Man, you're too quiet. That ought to be exciting. That ought to get you excited. Through Christ hanging on the cross, we have had yes stamped on every need that we have. Amen. Yes, I will provide. Because of what he did on the cross. We used to sing a song, I don't know, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Every promise in the book is mine. Yeah, all the promises of his love divine. Okay. See, that's my music person right there. She knows every old song there is. She don't know the new ones, but I don't either. And I don't know all the old ones. By memory, you don't know the new ones. But, you know, there was a game that the staff, years and years and years ago, we used to get together and play. It was called Encore. And you had to, they give you a word, I think, and you had to write a sentence. You had to sing a song. Oh, you had to sing a song with that word in it. Well, she'd start singing songs, and they said, that ain't no song. I said, yeah, it is, too. It was in the hymnal back when I was 6 years old. Oh, okay. You see, everything is ours now.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, okay. What's next? We must take possession of what belongs to us in Christ. I've been talking about in the know. Go to Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans 10. Okay, let's start with that 8th verse. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This is Paul talking. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now when he's talking about heart here, it's not talking about that muscle that pumps blood. It's talking about the spirit man on the inside, okay? Now, Let's do a little analyzation here on these scriptures. Verse 8 tells us we have what we need to possess what belongs to us. What do we have? It says we have the word of faith. That's what it says, doesn't it? We have the word in our mouth and in our heart, and Paul tells us, he goes on to say, it's the word of faith. That's what he says. Okay? That is the word of faith which we preach. Okay? Now, verse 9 tells us that salvation is obtained by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus. That's what verse 9 tells us. Verse 10 tells us that it's by believing in our heart and speaking with our mouth that we receive salvation. It all comes because we have the word of faith that we speak, we believe, we speak, and it all comes. Now, there is an indication here that this Greek word for salvation is an all-inclusive term referring to all that belongs to us through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, on the cross, and then he raised from the dead. So that means that we receive salvation by believing and saying. Right? But that is also the same way that we get all of the promises of God. It's the same way believing it and saying it. It's the same way. The word in and then the word out. The word in and then the word out. The word comes into our heart and then the word comes out of our mouth. Come on now. Somebody said it can't be that simple. It is. It is that simple. That somebody told you about Jesus. The word came into you. You believed it. You confessed it with your mouth. That's salvation. The word of God tells us that we've been healed. The word of God tells us our needs have been met. The word of God tells us that we have protection in Christ Jesus. All of this is in Christ. It's the word in and then the word out. Hello. Now, that is the way we possess what belongs to us. Now, I want to leave you with something that you should confess at least once a week and more if you want to. Now, I may go through these a little fast, so if you're going to write, you better write fast. Ephesians 1:6 said, I'm accepted by God. Ephesians 1:3 says, I have all spiritual blessing from God. All of this is because we're in Christ, okay? Ephesians 1:4 says, I'm chosen by God. Colossians 1:13 says, I'm delivered from Satan's kingdom. 1 Corinthians 1:5 says, I'm enriched in everything. Colossians 1:14 says, I have forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24 says, I have the grace of God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:24 says, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Ephesians 1:11 says, I have an inheritance through Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, I'm joined unto the Lord. 1 Peter 1:5 says, I am kept by the power of God. John 3:16 says, I'm loved unconditionally by God. Hello. Mark 11:23 says, I have mountain moving faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I am a new person in Christ. 1 John 5:4 says, I'm an overcomer by faith. Psalms 91:1 says, I am protected by the Lord. Colossians 1:12 says, I'm qualified to be an heir of God. Galatians 3:13 says, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Hebrews 7:25 says, I'm saved to the uttermost. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, I am triumphed in Christ, or I always triumphed in Christ. 2 Corinthians, Romans 6:5 says, I'm united together with Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, I'm victorious in Christ. Revelation 1:5 says, I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb. 2 Peter 1:4 says, I have exactly what God has promised. Matthew 11:29 says, I am yoked up with Jesus. Titus 2:14 says, I am zealous of good works. Hey, you need to get these truths in that I just went through. All of them. And they need to come out of your mouth confessing who you are and what you have in Christ. I believe if we let these things become a part of our daily life, that it will make a major change in the way we're living. All we got to do is find out and be in the know of what the Word of God says belongs to us in Christ, and then begin to confess it. Get it in and let it out. Turn to your neighbor and say, get it in and let it out. Who you are in Christ. What you have in Christ. What you can do through Christ. Hallelujah. Say it, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am an overcomer in Christ. I have everything I need. Because the word says that in Christ, all of my needs are met. Now stand up and praise God for it. Thank God because of who you are in Christ. In Christ is the most important thing you can get a hold of and begin to put in effect in your life. Hallelujah. Anybody getting anything out of this series in Him? Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me for just a moment, please. If you're in this place and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, of course, you're not in Christ. Or you may be in this place today and you know what it is to accept Christ, but you're just not where you're supposed to be and you need to rededicate yourself. Or you may go to church, but you don't know whether you ever have accepted Christ and become in Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand right now. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Anywhere in this room, just raise your hand up. Keep it up long enough that I can be able to see it so that I can acknowledge it. Anybody, anywhere in this room, anybody, anywhere in this room, anybody. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I don't see any hands. We also believe in the Holy Spirit around here. It says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, they were all filled with the Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody here say, hey, I know I'm in Christ, but I've never received that biblical experience. I'm not on my church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about the Bible, what the Bible says. And I want to receive that spiritual experience of being filled with the Spirit. Anybody in the room? Anybody anywhere? Well, let's all pray. Father, I thank you right now. I did not see any hands, but if there be one person in this place that does not know you or that needs to rededicate their life or needs to have a no-so experience with you, I pray that the Holy Spirit would deal with them until they can't do anything, until they stop and accept you as their Lord and Savior. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. We got another prayer request that come in there from prayer for a fever for a 3-year-old. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you touch this child right now. Fever, you got to go in the name of Jesus. Praise God. They didn't put it up how many people were watching this time. I don't know whether they've got that count or not. If you do, put it up for me if you can. Hallelujah. I know they're watching all over the world. I know that for a fact. Sometimes they put up all the countries and everything, but I don't guess they got it. Oh, we had 300. Is that 303 that was online today? Oh, here they are. United States, Cameroon, Netherlands, Russia, South Africa, Germany, Colombia, Norway, Taiwan, Canada, Belgium, India, Philippines, United Kingdom, Botswana, Israel, and Qatar. That's all the countries that they were watching us right now from here. Hey, we're a whole lot bigger congregation than you think because of that internet and that television camera right there. Hallelujah. And then, what hours are we on? I forgot what hours we on in the morning time in Channel 6 here in town. I forgot. I know they sent a report to me. They said last month we touched on 20,000 people. We touched last night. We're on like 6 o'clock in the morning on Channel 6, I think it is, with our television broadcast. And last month, They know how many people, 20,000 people tuned in and watched Rhema Praise. Isn't that great? That's just this one station. That's not counting Daystar that Rhema Praise is on two times, 8:30 at night on Saturday night, I think it is, and 10:30 on Monday night, I think, and then I don't know the other networks we're on. But hey, this church right here, I just want to, just trying to get you to understand, you are the base for something that's going on worldwide. 213 Bible colleges and 50 nations. This is the base for all of that. Hallelujah. You ought to get excited about, hey, you. You just don't think that we're right here. We're all over the world. Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't he? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hey, remember tonight, 6 o'clock right here. Okay, Wednesday night, Hour of Power, be here. Hey, connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them to the connection room so that they can get that special gift. Staff, go to the doors. That's where we're going to be. I'm going to be west today, and there you can see where the rest of them are going to be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Nobody moving except the first-time guests unless you absolutely have to, because I'm going to let you go in just a minute. You know how we dismiss around here. We sing a chorus. All right, and then Rich will dismiss you. Hey, don't forget to go order your anniversary T-shirt in the bookstore. Black T-shirts, option crew neck or V-neck with option of neon green writing on them or pink writing. Remember, neon was big in the 80s. Remember that? How many? And we started in 85, so hey, neon was big, okay? You order and pay in the bookstore after church or at either time, or you can go to the bookstore Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. any day. Deadline is September the 27th. That'd be next Sunday is the deadline. Okay? Hallelujah. Let's sing. Be here tonight, 6 o'clock. God bless.
Come on, let's say that I know.